The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
We are Living by the Word Ministries, a nonprofit organization dedicated to one cause. That cause is the truth given in the Holy Bible, which we believe is the inerrant and infallible Word of God, conferred to man to live by. We let the Word of God be the final authority as to what is or is not true. We strongly feel that if we do not expose false doctrine, we only encourage it. This ministry is designed to challenge you from an apologetic point of view. 1 Peter 3:15 instructs us to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. This is Michael Tinsley. Please stay tuned while we arm you, the believer, to keep living by the Word. It's the noble thing to do.
Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Bible Information Brokers. The Bible Information Brokers is a presentation of the Living by the Word Ministries. My name is Eric Stanton. I'm one of the teammates here. We're going to do a little bit different show tonight as the professor is across the world over in Cambodia. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to introduce the team right now so we can respect his time out there. He's been quite busy. Let me introduce both of the other teammates, along with thanking our engineer extraordinaire, Ozzy, for being here to help us out. Introduce Mr. Daryl Easy D. Fulton, and then once again, Professor Craig Hawkins out in Cambodia. Good evening, gentlemen. Or it's not evening out there in Cambodia.
Afternoon, PCH, huh?
He said it's about...
It's afternoon.
There you go. 15-plus hours. Man, and welcome to the broadcast. We want to get right into it. So I'll just open up in a quick word of prayer, and then we'll get right into the broadcast. We do want to honor your time out there because we know you got your students and everybody else out there, and you're doing the Lord's work. So, Father God, and just in light of that, Lord, we just ask and pray that you bless this broadcast as we dedicate it to you as usual, Father God, the special way we have across the world technology. Lord, we thank you for the privilege and opportunity to work in your kingdom. Give us the mind of Christ, Lord. Help us to set aside all those things that may be dealing with us on the personal basis, and we'll set all that aside, Lord, to dedicate this time to you. Help us. We need you by your Spirit to infuse us to be able to do your will for your honor, for your glory, and for our edification. And it's in Jesus' matchless and precious name I pray. Amen. PCH. Kid, do you have any kind of Cambodia accent out there? I mean, I don't know the Cambodian accent, man. I miss Brian on that kind of stuff because he always try to get the accent right. So, you know, with respectfulness, if you have that Cambodian accent, could you give it to us? If not, let's get into what's going on with you out there, brother.
I don't, and it would sound disrespectful.
There you go. We don't want to do that. That's why I said that. Don't be playing around. I got some Cambodian golfing friends I play golf with. I love them, brothers. So you don't mess around with them.
Some of the best coffee in the world I've ever had is here, actually. I'm sitting at my favorite coffee shop in Phnom Penh right now, actually.
Is JR with you, or in spirit, is he with you, or what?
I think so. Ponce de Leon was looking to the Fountain of Life. He was closer than he thought. He just didn't realize it was coffee. Really good coffee.
Well, I know you're not honoring me with no decaf, so I don't know. I know you don't do that. Coffee that I drink.
That's sacrilege.
All right, hey PCH, let's get into what's going on out there with you, brother. And you know, again, we want to honor your time, so you give us as much as you can, and we really appreciate that.
Well, thanks, Gerald. Yeah, I come here generally once a year. The Lord's opened us up for over a decade, over that easily. I have the opportunity to come here and talk and deal with human rights, human trafficking. A big part of this is human trafficking, in particular, the sex trade, sex slavery, if you will, and particularly even there with younger people, kids. Young, as you, Daryl, as sick as it is, young as 5 years old, 6, 7, 8, it's not uncommon at all, unfortunately. It's a major issue in many parts of the world. This is one of them, Thailand and other places. And a lot of this stuff, by the way, comes to America. So it's not like they're bad and we're good. That's not what I'm implying. We traffic a lot of the stuff. We bring it to America because of our sin. So that's a big part of this. And most of these students are future attorneys, and showing them what the law can do, but also the Judeo-Christian perspective on these matters. And from a Christian perspective, how do we address these issues? To be aware of them and how it exists, it's not like it's typically, if I could use that term, typically exists in America, but it's a different dynamic here. Often the mom is the one that sold these kids into sex slavery. It's not just some pimp or lover boy, but it's the mom. So we're dealing with that, and we're also just dealing with human rights. In fact, they just got back from one of the major, they use the word museum, but it was a school that was converted into a prison. And it was converted into a prison, and they torture people. Basically, over 18,000 people were tortured there in a little over 3 years. And then they were sent to the killing fields, or the major one. There was over 300 killing fields, but the major one, the one that they've made a memorial at, and now it's at the edge of Phnom Penh. But, I mean, can you imagine, there alone, 18,000 people in a little over 3 years were tortured, and then they were killed at the killing field site. And so then, you know, letting my students deal with that and grapple with the issues of evil. Does evil exist? Is this just mental illness? Is this lack of opportunity? Is this economic hardship? I mean, how do you explain this? I wouldn't say, of course, justify it, because I'm certainly not trying to justify it, but how would you explain this? And how do you prevent this from happening in the future? And my view is that if you don't really understand why these type of things happen, how could you possibly prevent them? And so I would put a Band-Aid on something that requires a tourniquet or you know, what have you. So it's pretty powerful because people are stunned. As one of the individuals said, like, how did they collect such a group of serial killers? And I thought that was profound. But the other one was, I could have gone my whole life without seeing this. I said, yes, I realize that, but this is good that you do, because this stuff has gone on, will continue to go on. People say after World War II and Nazi Germany and Nie wieder, never again. Well, that certainly was wrong, and Rwanda, and the list goes on and on and on. So how do we see this and prevent it and understand it in the sense of preventing it and eradicating it, genocide or democide, if you will, death by government? And I would argue that not that Christians have all the answers, but I believe God does. I believe the Bible does. And I believe the answer is really seeing things from God's perspective. And so that's why this is really important. Tomorrow we'll go to the killing fields proper. Again, as I mentioned, the main one that they've made a memorial of it. And it's just, it's mind-boggling. People come away at best numb because it's so overwhelming to their conscience of the incredible, inexplicable, or at least just the heinousness, the wickedness of what occurred. And again, not to say Americans are better. We've done plenty of things that are wrong. This isn't saying, you know, these people are bad and we're good. It is, here, this is bad, like we do stuff that's bad, and how do we see this for what it is and prevent it? And what is the antidote? What is the cure for this type of stuff?
PCAs, do you find that in the human trafficking sphere out there in Cambodia on that side of the world, that there's some kind of way interconnected with all the other places, or it's just like a competitive doggone business like the drug trade and things like that?
Well, it's a little both and. I mean, think of cartels. Think of drug cartels. Some of them, I mean, are really big and powerful, and they have multiple, can I use the word, tentacles. It's not just it's the manufacturing of the drug, but then it's the transportation, it's the delivery, and all things in between. So some of these networks are multinational, if I could put it that way.
Right.
And some of it doesn't necessarily even leave Phnom Penh, some of it, but some of it clearly does. But, I mean, you can say, well, in Thailand, think of Pattaya and then the southeast side of, in particular, of Thailand, you could argue, is this world center of organized crime and prostitution. You can make that argument. think of Phuket, which is a tourist attraction, but the amount of prostitution is just mind-boggling there, Daryl. And I was just in, as I had been numerous times, into Nepal, and there's an incredible amount of trafficking of young Nepalese girls down into India, to Mumbai and Calcutta and what have you. And those are just a few. And then we have the stuff coming to America, particularly, I think, of Arizona, Phoenix area, California, of course, L.A., San Francisco, San Diego even, as beautiful as a place that is, aesthetically pleasing as far as the scenery. There's plenty of sex trafficking and prostitution down there as well. And so it's really, this isn't just a talk about it to talk about it. It's a talk about it to see evil for what it is, and then how to prevent it and how to eradicate it.
You know, being one of the oldest, the oldest occupations. I hate to use that word in regards to prostitution, things like that. That what is occupation in the world, going way back to Judah in his days and dealing with all that stuff. But it's like the tragedy, the serious tragedy is the poverty, the abject poverty that they have, where people are selling their children just so that the other family members can eat. And that's the torture of it in my mind.
Yeah, one of my colleagues, I've gone up into Burma, for example, or, modern-day Myanmar. Some of my colleagues believe as many as easily 40, but 50 to 60% of villages in the remote areas have sold their daughters. Mm. And I don't care if it's 30 or 20, that's just still mind-boggling.
Yes.
So this isn't just here, and it is in America. But some people, even with prostitution, especially older gals, they want to say, well, it's a choice. And there's a definitive book on this entitled Prostitution, It's Not a Choice. Prostitution, It's Not a Choice. But there are always extenuating circumstances. Women don't just prostitute themselves, or men as well. There's reasons of abuse and all kinds of things that have contributed to that. It doesn't just happen. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, man. PCH, we're not going to hold you up on here all for the whole 2-hour broadcast. As we know, you have a lot of things to do out there where you are. But this is going to be like a special broadcast where how can the people help and what means can they help? Because this is going to be a day where we talk about the various ministries with Bible Information Brokers, Living by the Word Ministries, the various ministries that Eric and I are involved with as well. And we're going to be petitioning the people about making a pledge offering towards this ministry so we can have an idea of what we really have to work with. Last year has been, for the last 4 or 5 years, man, before Brian passed away, they've been, our listening audience has been very gracious to us as far as giving and things like that. It's not that the many give, it's that the few give so generously. And I just want to just continue to praise the Lord and thank them for that. But how can people really, other than, even though prayer is so important, other than praying for what we got going on with the various ministries, how can the people really, really give towards what you're doing out there, man, and include Nepal and TOTs and things like that?
Yeah, and of course, the purpose of this isn't trying to do some, stealth fundraiser.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is ministry does take funds, and, we're training, in this case, attorneys and Christians to make a difference with their legal skills, but also to encourage and equip ministries and NGOs and support them in the work they do, to come alongside them in a number of ways, including financially, to help them do the great work that they're already doing. It is vital. And the reality is, God supports his work, but he uses people to do it. And so, it's an incredible privilege to be here and to do what I get to do. But it does take funds still. That's the reality. Ministry, my mentor, Walter Martin, used to say, the water's free, but someone's got to put in the plumbing.
Yes.
In other words, get the gospel there, the implications of the gospel. And so if people, I would just argue, if God puts it on their heart and they after they support their local fellowship, if they believe in what we're talking about and the difference we're trying to make, and not just in prostitution, which would be noble in and of itself, but to see that people come to Christ. And that's the a lot of the organizations, most of them that we work with, interact with, they're almost always Christian, not the only one, but they are generally Christian, and they want to see people come to Christ and know Him as their Lord and Savior, but they don't want to leave them in their the sin. And you can't just say, well, you shouldn't be doing that, you should get out. Well, okay, that's easy for us to say, but how do you help them get out? What do they need to, as far as counseling and the gospel and a vocation, a trade that they can make an honest living, a fair wage, indeed fair trade, that phrase, and get out of this stuff and stay out of it. And so, anyways, as people, if they believe in what we do and think it has some value, then we would ask that they would prayerfully consider. We always say, and I genuinely mean it, we want your prayers first. We ask for your prayers. If you can only pray, only in quotes, pray, I would, that's incredible. If you can pray for us, absolutely. And if you can give financially, great, but minimally you can pray for us that God will use us to help make a difference. Because that's what this is all about. Life is fleeting. You know, eternity lasts, and what's going into eternity other than God's word? As far as I know, it's people. And so we're investing in people, and part of that investment is getting them out of the horrors of prostitution and sex trafficking and related issues like brick making, the kelm industry here, fishing boats off of Thailand, and all that slavery forced work there to make a difference. And we need people who are committed prayerfully, and as they're able financially to make a difference. I'll leave it at that.
And we will give the people the information. We're not going to keep you on the line in regards to doing that because you know what the information is. But let me just ask one very serious question for me, and I just want to know, how does it, when you guys say rescue, for the lack of a better term, rescue someone out of the sex trafficking aspect of it, and then they go through the process of acclimating back into a productive citizen, how full or how do they translate from the sex trafficking to the orphanages, and are you guys affiliated in dealing with the orphanages as well?
Yeah, so I'm going to be careful. We don't do that.
Right.
I'd have to be over here full time, but we work with organizations to do that.
Yeah.
And so Nepal, for example, with Brad Watt and Love Justice, and they actually do this, and then they have orphanages where they take in kids. Yeah, absolutely. They're out here is now I run a ministry called AIM, Apologetics Information Ministry, mm-hmm. but there is a group called AIM out of California, Northern California, Agape International Missions, and they do a phenomenal job here. I want to give them credit. They mm-hmm. do that. They are able to do, like, basically police raids. They take kids in. They give them counseling, a place to live, and yeah, you have a lot of counseling and the implications of the gospel, because when these things happen to a person, they don't just come out like, oh, I'm fine now. And they're often stigmatized, right. Ironically, even though the family's the one that sold them into this, they're stigmatized in their community. They can't go back. They can't make a living unless they're given a skill,
mm-hmm.
A skill set that now they can make a living in and provide for themselves and if they have any children. And so yeah, there's various dynamics, but we come alongside groups. We're not here. I mean, I go to these places and we try to make a difference and support them, but we're supporting, they're the ones that do this day in, day out, 24/7, 365. And so I want to give them the credit, but we try to help them and assist them in various ways. And if nothing else, I have students who we took here over 10 years ago who are still coming back and making a difference. That's what this is all about, Daryl.
And that's so beautiful, man. I'm just reflecting back to the horrors and the war stuff that happened in Liberia when I got a chance to visit there, and I saw the faces of these young soldiers that was out mm-hmm. there from babies. I mean, when I say babies, you know, early teens and mid-teens killing folks and doing all those atrocities and everything. They basically had no choice to do, man. They had no place. They had no place to go after that war was over, and dealing with all the so-called war crimes of the leaders and everything. But we forget, well, when I say I don't forget, but the people, we just don't know enough. We need to have that stuff constantly in our face, as far as I'm concerned, PCH, because we are just so anesthetized from this type of stuff that goes on in the world. It's right around us here in the United States as well. But the unfortunate thing is our poverty level includes a cell phone. You tell me, talk about the poverty level out out there, what they have to deal with, when our poverty level here includes a cell phone.
Yes. Yeah, and it is mind-boggling as I travel to much of Asia, Southeast Asia, as well as other parts of the world, that it's the same. The poverty often is just mind-boggling. When you think the average person here makes 130, I mean, a good healthy wage here is like about $200 a month. And it's not, you say, well, things are cheaper. They're not that cheap. You know, most of them, a moped and riding definitely 2, 3, 4, and seeing 5 is pretty normal, 5 people, at least kids, mom, dad, and 2 or 3 kids on it. That they don't, as one of my friends said, somebody at a fellowship that I was helping to teach said they'd asked prayer for their second car because it was having troubles and had to be repaired. And my friend from India,
Pastor Meng, in fact, right?
Yeah, he said, "What's the problem? I mean, all of us only have one car over here. There's a problem?"
Wow.
And it's just to put things in perspective, not just to guilt people, but it's like, I remember my dad as a kid used to say, "You have no idea," he would say to me, how good you have it. You have no idea. And he was dead right. I mean, yeah. He said, you know, I started traveling. I remember one of the first things that came to my mind was, man, my dad didn't tell me the half of it.
Mm. No, you know, your dad is absolutely right. When I had the privilege of traveling for the pleasure of entertaining the world with the Harlem Globetrotters as one of their referees, man, I saw the world, but I saw the world because I left the plushness of them inviting us to their country to walk the streets of every place I went, from Russia to India, Middle East, all over the place. And I saw, and I remember in Yerevan when I saw just after a couple of years after the earthquake was there, and I stayed in a hotel that was under communist rulership and ownership. Then about 10 years later, I met the guy who actually was an active buyer in buying that same hotel that was next to this. People living on top of the tin roofs on their houses and on the outside after that horrendous earthquake that was out there in Yerevan. So, man, it's like I said, these oh, easy, maybe easy D, but I've seen some things that have changed my life, and that's what we're going to be talking about when we let you go, PCH, about how people can support the various ministries and how they can get involved, and maybe we can incite something in them that God may be able to use, they'd be able to do in their lives as far as living God-centric for the world that we live in and being this double ambassador I'm going to be talking about.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's all about. I come here not because I'm just sightseeing or something, but I mean, I get to see stuff, of course, but it's because we're trying to make a difference and spreading the gospel and the implication of the gospel, singular. It is what follows from Christianity, what follows from being a Christ follower, what should follow, and how should we treat people and show inherent dignity and respect for those, everyone made in the image of God, and not because they can do something for us financially or boost our career or whatever, or give us self-adulation on Facebook or whatever one is using social media. This is about trying to make a difference for the gospel for Christ. Absolutely.
Well, you know what? Since you mentioned the gospel of Christ, PCH, before we let you go, I'm going to give you the blessed privilege again of giving the gospel to our listening audience and anybody that may be in your earshot. Who knows what the Lord is going to do with that as we then let you go, unless you have much more time you can give us, because, you know, we'll love to take calls, but we're not going to promise to people that because we know what your schedule is. Or at least I have a small idea what your schedule is.
Yeah, and just let you know, you may have trouble hearing me in a moment. They start making some more coffee, so I'm friendly.
Take a sip. Take a sip and be strong.
But but that's what it's all about, Daryl. It is about the gospel. It's about knowing Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. This isn't about just do-gooderism or helping people, which is important, and shifting people out of poverty, out of slavery, literally sex slavery, the indentured servanthood of those involved in brick-making, and fishing boats and other forced labor and what have you. Want to set people free, and people often quote the verse, they don't give Christ credit for it. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Not just who's free, but who the Son sets free is free indeed. He's come to give us life and that more abundantly. And whether one may not experience it, as many do here, the poverty or the abuse of the out-and-out slavery, literally sex trafficking and slavery, but you're still enslaved to your sin. Christ says that he who commits sin is the servant, is the slave of sin. And so he who commits sin is a slave of sin, and it's who Christ sets free was because of his work, because of his goodness. And we're about spreading the gospel in America, but beyond the borders of America, including Cambodia, Thailand, and way beyond that as well. And we would encourage people to be reconciled to God, to trust in Christ, to know him. Life in that more abundantly is only found in him. Otherwise, one is on their way to a Christless eternity. True life, the life that really is life and worth living, is only in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That he is the Son of God, God the Son. He died for our sins. He rose again for our justification, that we might be restored to relationship, and then with relationship, fellowship to God. In other words, we've been estranged. We've been alienated. We are isolated from God. We may think we're not, but that's not what God says. He says we are. We need to be reconciled to God, him to us, and that is through Jesus Christ and him alone and his work, his atoning sacrifice. That is, he not only covered our sins, but he removes them from us. It's simultaneously saint and sinner. I'm still a sinner, but I am a saint. I am forgiven. I'm exonerated, forgiven of my sins, and that is for the person who trusts in Jesus Christ. Life in that more abundantly, emotional, mental, physical, spiritual health is only in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's what this is all about. There are people listening need to know Christ and trust in him and him alone as their, not the group savior of the world, but as your personal savior. He died for your sins. He rose again for your justification. He wants to have a relationship and fellowship with you, not just the world, ethereally, generically speaking, but with each and individual person. That's why this message is completely personal, Daryl, to our listeners.
Yes.
To those who are listening who either have walked away from the Lord or have never trusted in Christ, be reconciled to God, trust in him, believe on him, and know that he and he alone gives you eternal life.
Amen and amen. And I can say this on behalf of everybody in the studio here at PCH. I have no cookies here at the studio, but on behalf of Ozzy, Eric, and myself, man, safe travel. May the Lord continue to use you and all that you're doing out there with your team. And God bless you for what you're doing, brother, and those young folks, or even mid-age folks, that are getting into this legal aspect of this human trafficking and all that you're doing.
Yeah, and otherwise. Yeah, well, thank you, dear. I really appreciate you and Eric. You guys, your partnership in the gospel is, you know, our dear brother Brian went home to be with the Lord.
Yes.
But we are trying to carry on the torch to what God has called us to, and pray we do that till the day he takes us home. So thanks, Daryl and Eric. Appreciate it.
All right, man. Thank you for your time, brother. We're going to go ahead and let you go, and we're going to miss you. And, again, safe travels. Get back home safely, and don't eat everything that, you know, may not agree with your little tender stomach. You know, you don't have a stomach like mine. So God bless you,
so
brother.
Far, yeah, I don't have a cast iron stomach.
That's anymore. Right, brother.
So far, I've avoided the plague.
All right, man. Love you, man. Take care of yourself.
As well, brother.
All right, God bless.
Good night, thanks.
All right, you've been listening to Living by the Word Ministries. Whole team right there. How about that? Professor Craig Hawkins out there in Cambodia, please remember to keep them in your prayers. Eric, you want to come on and give the people a way that they can communicate with us tonight and what we're going to be doing tonight when Eric give you the phone number and I'll give you more information on how you can contact us, is that we're going to be dealing with the various ministries of Living by the Word Ministries. As you got the Bible Information Brokers, you have the ministry that Professor be dealing with. And what I'm going to ask that you do is seriously consider calling in are communicating with us on the various ways we're going to give you in a moment, and we're going to read these comments. We're going to read your comments. It's a chance and opportunity for you to make comments. We and Eric not even pretend that we can answer the questions on the level that PCH can answer. So we want to honor the time that we have and give you on the first Sunday of the year an opportunity. Well, actually, this is the second. No, this is the first Sunday of the year, an opportunity to call in with your comments. If we've been a blessing to you, if you have suggestions, look, we are very thick-skinned here. We can take suggestions. Now, you got to be respectful because this is live radio. But if you have comments you want to make, if you have any kind of pledge, matter of fact, every chicken in the barnyard should be calling in or communicating with us to let us know what you're going to be doing on behalf of this ministry. Are you going to pray for us? Are you going to be evangelizing, as it were, for letting people know in your various methods you can communicate with the people in your world that you're listening to the broadcast, that you're supporting the broadcast, that we're here? Pray for us, evangelize for us, as it were, let the people know about it. And also, giving as far as the financial giving and things like that. But so there's something that you're going to be doing. So if you're listening to us and you're under the sound of my voice now, we now want to turn the broadcast over to you to hear from you. So inundate us with calls, emails, and things like that. We're going to give you in a second on what you're going to be doing for Bible Information Brokers, presented by Living by the Word Ministries and the faithful supporters, what you're going to be doing for Living by the Word Ministries, Bible Information Brokers in 2024, so that we may take the gospel out to the world as the Lord has given us this platform. So, Eric, why don't you come on and let the people know how they can call and any other information you want to give them, and then we're going to be talking in between the comments about the various ministries that we have going on. So how do you want the people to call you, Eric?
Okay, so the number is 888-995-5552. Let me say that again, 888-995-5552, or as I always say, if it makes it a little easier, 888-995-KKLA.
And all the time you say that, make it a little easier. I keep thinking you're talking to me, man. So can you think of another word other than easier?
Make it simpler.
There you go. There you go. Because you confuse me. I think you keep calling me. I look up and I say, make it easier, huh? You call me?
We can change your moniker, though.
No, we ain't going to do that.
I'm very happy that you mentioned one thing, is that neither one of us has any of the acumen or could answer questions the way the professor can. So I'm glad you gave that out.
Well, I was going to bring you on to answer all the questions as he usually do, yeah, because I was going to take a break.
You won't get the answers.
Well, why don't you answer the phone then if you're not going to answer any questions? The phone is ringing.
Are you brushing me off again?
Yes, I am, because the phone is ringing. You see that little green button? Ozzy, you see that green button is ringing? He's not even answering the phone. He just told people to call. I'll give the number. Eric, you just answer the phones, and we can talk about ministries and stuff that we're going to be doing in between the calls, okay? 888-995, as Eric said, 888-995-5552. Oh, 888-995-5552. Now, listen, that's the way you can call Eric right now. Again, we're taking comments. You get a chance to comment. Now, I'm going to hold you to like maybe no more than 54 seconds, because that's my perfect number in one of the ministries I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be talking about a little later on. But 888-995-KKLA for your comments. We don't necessarily take in questions. We could take questions, you know, if you just have a question, we can try to deal with it. But comments from you about what you're going to be doing pledge-wise. What are you going to pledge to do for this ministry? We want to know. We want to know what we can count on this year from the various people that may be listening to us, communicating with us, people that give and everything like that. We want to know from you, very simply, what do you pledge to do? You pledge to pray for us daily. You have a schedule that you're going to read through the Bible with us. You're going to call in with questions. You're going to participate in the various things that we have. You're going to suggest various other ways that we can promote this ministry in regards to question and answers all around the California and the states, or even the world, as you see Professor is. And I'll be going myself pretty soon to Liberia and deal with the situations out there that's on my heart to deal with. And so please, folks, call us right now. Call Eric at 888-995-5552, 888-995-5552. Or if you want to send us a information about what your pledge is to do, prayer, give, participate, what have you, whatever your pledge is that you're going to do for this ministry, Bible Info Brokers, we'd like to know what it is so we can kind of like count on it. We can look forward to it. It's almost like being in a war and receiving information. Hey, I'm thinking about you. I'm praying about you. I intend on sending you something like that. It's just like being in a war. This is a spiritual war. So 888-995-5552. Opportunity for you to make comments tonight. Opportunity for you to let us know what you're going to be doing in participation of this ministry of Bible Info Brokers. Now, the phone number again, as I said, is 888-995-5552, 888-995-5552, or 888-995-KKLA. The ways you can communicate with us on social media, be it Truth Social, be it Facebook, be it Twitter, be it Messenger, is Bible Info Brokers. Bible Info Brokers Is that a way you can communicate with us by the social media, and we'll be able to bring those comments and questions out. So just write in what you're going to be doing. We love to hear from you. We're almost like, I'm not begging, but I like to use the word like pray, like an old English word. We pray that you would communicate with us what it is that you're going to be doing. So it's your opportunity to communicate with us, comments, participation, what you're going to be doing personally, what you're pledging to do for this ministry to be able to grow it up and for God to be able to use it as he's been doing all these years. So let us hear from you. 888-995-5552. 888-995-5552. Bible Info Brokers for the social media aspect of it, Truth Social, Facebook, Messenger, Twitter, what have you. And if you're going to send us an email, that email address is livebyword@aol.com. That's right, livebyword@aol.com. Now, Eric, remember I said before, if the folks don't choose to call in, and I'll look at the various other ways that they may want to communicate with us tonight, we're going to talk about the various ministries that we're going to have going on in the very, very near future and how people might be able to kind of participate in a way of spreading the word about it. So, Eric, are you in a position right now? You're not receiving any phone calls, which is good. And if we do, we can kind of put them on hold. I'll put them on hold in here. And once you come on, if you don't mind, Eric, and give us information about the exciting ministry of dun, 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 dun. You're not ready for that yet? Oh, Eric, I thought we talked about that. You're going to come on and share that.
We're in the planning stages of it. There's anything to talk about now because
we can't talk about what we're trying to plan to do like I am with the double ambassador ministry. You want me to talk about that first?
I imagine so. I mean, it's just we're planning a marriage ministry.
Right.
And we're in the beginning stages of putting it together. Like I said, I'm sorry you kind of caught me off guard that there's not much to talk about right now.
Well, I have a lot to talk about.
Hopefully for the future. Yes.
Well, I'll talk about it from my perspective. I've been bugging Eric years now since I've known that you do this? Because I have a ministry that's called Community Chapel Service International. And remember what you saw the subtitle is that my dad got started back in 1982? It's called Wishing Wells and Wedding Bells. Remember that? We were talking about that. And the whole idea about marriages is that we have an attack on marriages. And I'll just talk about it this way. But, Eric, go ahead and give the number again for the folks to give you a call so they can make comments if they want to. If not, you know, I can go for a couple of hours and the folks will be tired of me talking. I won't ever get tired of talking about the things that God is doing through us. But want to give the people the number again so they can give you a call if they have any comments that they want to make. And pledges in particular, whether it's financial or all those other ways that I had mentioned, that we love to hear from them and they can make comments about what this ministry has been doing for them over the years. Or whatever length of time they've been listening.
Yes, Daryl, that number once again, 888-995-5552, 888-995-5552. Let me correct myself to make it simpler for you, 888-995-KKLA. And just real quick on the marriage ministry, that's what you said was part of the impetus for doing this is that marriage is in trouble.
Yes. and that's the kind of dialogue I want to talk to you about. It's not necessarily that we just do the marriages, but we understand that if we get in, that, you know, you've already been involved with it for years yourself in marriages and funerals. From the standpoint, I've done some funerals myself as well. But funerals are not necessarily in trouble. You don't get too much in trouble by preaching the gospel, doing a funeral, or talking about various things because usually people being eulogized, and what eulogy is basically meaning to say nice things about people. So I wish the funerals would be a little bit more real about the reality of people actually dying in a Christless eternity because they never accepted Christ from the perspective of the way they lived and what have you. But I understand, you know, the aspect of funerals, people are already highly emotional and things like that. We have some people that are very close to some family members of mine that just passed away just even today. So Craig already gave you the gospel. We talked about you not promised tomorrow. So Eric, in regards, let me kind of like interview you until we do get a call, just about marriages in general. Why did you get involved with marrying folks? And tell the folks how you were marrying people, because I found it very exciting. And you even brought our boy Brian involved with that for a little while until the Lord called him home.
Well, it's always amazing to me how the Lord, you know, makes things work out for her. I would never have imagined to be myself doing something like doing a wedding ministry and doing it, believe it or not, on board the Carnival Cruise Lines.
I love ships, and, man.
You know, in that that environment, you don't really hear much mention of the Lord or any kind of spirituality. Mm-hmm. So I believe that the Lord had me there in order to be able to bless these couples that normally they wouldn't, you know, have a blessing on their marriage. With each one I did, I'd pray for them either silently to myself if they, you know, if they felt like maybe they would have some objection to it or, mm-hmm. you know, openly, of course, you want to pray for them openly. But there's a ministry that I did for almost 22 years.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, I wholly believe that it was the Lord's doing that had me doing that to be there. And then the time came, he had me to pull out of it. But I think that's because he wants me to do this ministry that we're talking about now. I don't know if that answers anything that you're asking me.
No, it does, Eric.
I'm always a little concerned whenever we let you go freestyle like this because I never know what you're going to.
Why? Especially
when I'm answering phones and I don't hear what you're saying until you tell me to come on. But
that's right. So we don't see anybody ringing the phone because apparently our listening audience like to ask questions as opposed to make comments. But a lot of times people seem like they want to make comments and various things they may want to say. But this is like sort of a question and answer format. So if they don't want to take advantage of the opportunity to let us know what's going on with them as far as what they're pledging, I really love to hear from people. I love people to think about the consideration of making a commitment to something. Not that we're going to come to your house and, you know, go for your kneecaps, something like that, if you don't keep your pledge. But it's just it. Think about it from the standpoint, if you do ministry and your life is basically a ministry, and that's what I'm going to talk about, the double ambassadors, and try to encourage folks to live their life in such a way that whether they like it or not, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are a double ambassador. Whether you like it or not, whether you realize it or not, I'm going to talk about that, and I can talk about that for hours, but I'll just take whatever time we have to deal with that. But getting back to what you asked me about, Eric, because you don't let me go freestyle in regards to the marriages. You see how you said you've been doing that for 20 years, man. And then we know, and you've seen in those 20-year period how the whole transition of marrying from the traditional man and woman has returned over to a situation where they're allowing same-sex marriages. And all over the world, I've heard things where people are even marrying their pets. I've heard of a woman marrying a dolphin. I've heard of people getting involved with all kind of various things, which is, to me, if I could use the word, bastardizing the sanctity of marriage by just taking it and going all over the place, being left to their own devices. So what were some of your concerns about, even if we start doing this again, which is our intent to do, what are some of your concerns just here in California, let alone across the nation?
Well, that would be the main thing, is the same-sex marriages. And that's one thing that we've been talking about, mm-hmm. between us, Darryl, is how do we deal with that? And let me throw it back at you. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, what did I say to you? Tell the people what I said to you, and then I'll go ahead and expound on it. Tell the people what I said to you as far as we might get some smoke because of that. And what did I say to you when we first talked about it?
Yeah. I don't recall exactly what.
Well, let me reiterate: the smoke, bring the smoke. We want the smoke, yes. Because when you have a situation whereby you, it's like almost having trials in your life, it's almost like having drama in your life. That's how you grow. And I'm the same person who want to be able to go, and I talked to Craig about it, a few questions. But you know, again, you don't hear those questions because you're answering phone calls and doing things in the studio with Brother Ozzy. But one of the things I'm concerned about is that we run away from as Christians sometimes, we run away from a good legal and moral fight. Thank God professor is teaching attorneys ethics and things like that, because my concern is that when our society, which we have a representative form of government, and the government is us, we are the government. They're representing us. And so if the us sit back and let the people that we put in there for us just run amok and make these various policies and allow various laws, legislative laws to go past, we're doing that. We're getting what we deserve, because in our government we can grieve. We can regress and have grievances, and there's a process on almost appealing on everything. That's why folks can murder people and be alive for the next 25, 30 years on death row by the various appeals and everything they have. So if you got that much appeals in the criminal justice system, it's also in the various laws that we have. And you see our whole system of law is being under attack. Even now, and the ones that's attacking it is us who put the people in office who are representing us. So the us need to step up our game and take advantage of the type of government that we have where we can have these grievances and be able to address them. Because if you was in a communist country or a dictatorial country like that, you ain't gonna open your mouth. It's nothing like that goes on in those type of other countries. So we need to take advantage of these type of things, Eric. And the thing I was saying to you about the whole marriage thing is I want the controversy. I want someone to tell us that we must marry this unless we're going to lose what? Our 501c3 type thing. I'm ready for that fight as well. And I'm not fighting just to be fighting sake. I'm fighting because, folks, you really need to step up and understand what constitutional rights you have in this United States of America that we have before we actually start losing these rights, even as we be so passive and sit by and let things happen to us by not stepping up. So, folks, I'm going to invite you. I just need to know who's in the fight with us. I mean, this is what we're going to be doing. This is what we've been doing. This is what we're going to be talking about. So give us a call, Eric. I see somebody maybe trying to call in at 888-995-5552. 888-995-5552. I'd like to know, what are you going to pledge to do with this ministry and through this ministry, utilizing the various things and platforms that we have to maybe get some of your points across? How about it, folks? 888-995-5552. You can call in. I'll let you talk a little bit longer than 54 seconds. I won't hold you to that. That was just a sort of a little plumb line there. But we can have a conversation about what it is that you may have been inspired to do through this ministry, what it is that you think that we should be doing differently. Listen, we have very tough skin here. We want to hear from you, especially for those that's going to pledge to do whatever they're going to do in regards to keep this ministry up and running. If it's beneficial to you, if it's not, then hey, do nothing. You know, the Lord has been taking care of us for over 25 years with the faithful few. And I'm going to say faithful few because I know we reach more than the people that give. If the thousands of people that is purported that we meet are reached, or the tens of thousands of people because of internet and things like that, and the percentage of people that actually give on a consistent basis, those are the faithful few. Yes, you are. And so in honor of you, matter of fact, let me do this. Let me give you the information on how the faithful few who already know how to do it. But for those of you that have never given to this ministry, but yet you've been, let me put it this way. I just had, if you like oxtails or you like anything that deals with a bone, there's some marrow in the bone. So let me deal with those that may have been sucking the marrow out of this ministry and other ministries and not contributing in a way that the Lord has blessed you. And so you think about that. You think about the idea that if all that you have is God's, if you're a believer, and even if you're not a believer, it's still God's, you just don't know it. But all that you have as a believer is God's, and he puts you in stewardship over your time, over your talent, and over your treasures. So think about it from the standpoint of ministries that you're involved with, whether it's this one by listening, participating in giving, praying, or what have you. That is your time, talent, and treasure right there. So, folks, if you want to consider giving financially to this ministry, let me tell you the various ways you can do it. Well, Craig already mentioned what he's doing out in Cambodia in regards to the sex trafficking aspect of it. We have the training of trainers, TOT. We have the FFF Fund, which is the Faithful Friend Fund, which is dealing with our dearly departed brother, Brian, at 65 years old, man, just, you know, trying to catch me, but never would in age-wise, but departed from this world and left a beautiful family and a beautiful wife who has been very faithful to us and helping us with the ministry, taking the spot of doing some of the things that Brian did. We really appreciate Eric for that. And we think it's just an honor and a privilege and an opportunity and a blessed privilege to be able to help out with her medical premiums per month. And so, folks, we do that through you. We put it out there before you, and you're so gracious you give, and when we be able to take care of that part of the ministry. And also, just in the general fund, folks, I've been dealing with our web designer and everything to get all the things up in proper. Matter of fact, it's going to be a big deal coming up in this whole month. The rest of this month is, from my standpoint, and what I'm going to be doing in my life is dedicating to getting these websites, social medias, everything built up, not only ministry-wise, but also in the other double ambassador that I'll be dealing with as far as my ministry and the game of golf and the other aspects of that double ambassador, which I'll talk about a little later if we have time. But, folks, here's how you can actually give. And, you know, if you go to our website at Bible Info Brokers, you'll even see on the front page how we have brothers that have been involved in supporting this ministry for years. Brother Sal, remember when I first met him, man? it was a great meeting. I think we met at Core Church face-to-face and had a good talk. We wouldn't stop talking, man. He's a great man. And I love Brother Sal. But if you go right there, you see the information about our virtual Bible study. And if you just click that information, the Zoom link, Sal can give you all the information you need to join them. And I appreciate brothers like Sal who stepped up and was on when Brian was alive and then took over for that. And we really appreciate that. And we want to be able to support all the various things that we have. So there you have it. If you go to Bible Info Brokers, you can also click that icon that says support and donate. Support and donate. And by clicking that icon, you will scroll down, or it'll actually take you right to it, where it gives you instruction on how you can actually give. And by doing so, it's just one little paragraph, and it tells you how to give. Now, when you give this way, I'm going to just be straight with you. This is not my preferred way. I'm going to do a crescendo with you. And my preferred way is going to be at the end of this little expose I'm taking you on as far as how you can negotiate those instruments that you want to send in so that we may be able to continue ministry from a financial standpoint. Support and donate. Click that icon on BibleInfoBrokers.com. Give, follow the instructions, and those fees are taken out. So we don't get 100% of the money, but we get the majority of the money into the account immediately, and we really appreciate that. So go on BibleInfoBrokers, click support and donate, and follow those instructions. If you want to give by way of having anything in the mail, the U.S. mail, if you want to mail it to us, I don't know what stamps cost these days, a couple thousand dollars, whatever the stamps cost. So if you want to write out an envelope, the envelope must say on it, LBTW, or you can spell it out, Living by the Word, and then make it out to P.O. Box 90477. That's Live by Word, or LBTW, P.O. Box 90477, in Los Angeles, 90009. And by actually writing that out, then the post office would not make any mistake and send it back to you saying, hey, can't do it that way because that's what the rules are. LBTW, if you're going to do it yourself, you're going to have your bank do it, or whoever's going to send in the envelope, it must say LBTW. And on the check or money order, it can do the same thing, LBTW. And that's P.O. Box 90477 in Los Angeles, 90009. Now, the preferred way to give, and it's only preferred because I have the microphone. Everybody else may have a different preferred way. But my preferred way is feeless. 100% of the money while we can get it through Zelle, Z-E-L-L-E. And those of you that have an online presence with your bank in a relationship that way, just do the instructions as far as finding out how you can do Zelle if you don't have it. Well, doing Zelle, we get 100%. Think about it, 100% of the money without fees being taken out at this present time. And by doing that, you can simply use our email address, which is livebyword@aol.com. That's livebyword@aol.com. For Zelling the money 100%, we get those donations, and we appreciate that. Listen, I only have a couple of minutes left, so Tim and Bobby, I'm going to get to you on the other side of the break, so hang in there, okay, for your comments and what you're going to be doing and things like that. So I appreciate you guys calling in. So actually, why don't we take this break, and we're going to inundate Eric with phone calls, and I'm going to check the emails, I'm going to check Facebook, I'm going to check Truth Social, I'm going to check the Messenger, I'm going to check Twitter, and all those ways that you can send us information. I'm going to check livebyword@aol.com for your email comments. I want to read them over. If I should have brought those envelopes that people were giving to us and read those envelopes about the various nice things that people say in the ministry and the very challenging things that people are coming about the ministry. But there you have it. So right now, tonight, live, we have a half of a show left. Call us about what you're pledging to do in regards to your time, talent, and treasure, in regards to Bible Information Brokers. Call Eric right now. We have some open lines. Like I said, Tim and Bobby, we're going to get to you. That telephone number is 888-995-5552, 888-995-KKLA. Bible Info Brokers for Facebook, Facebook, Twitter, Messenger, and True Social to make your comments there about what you're going to pledge to do. Or if you want to send us an email, we're going to check all those things during the break at livebyword@aol.com. livebyword@aol.com. Now, you're going to hear some music in about 20 seconds, and that means I got 30 seconds from that 20 seconds to be able to tell you this, that you are a teammate, far as I'm concerned, the listening audience, believer or unbeliever. It's just like the church, folks. Everybody in the church ain't saved, but everybody that goes to church should be participating in keeping that church active, that ministry active. So you hear that music, like I said? Let me just give you that phone number to call Eric right now. Make him busy so we can give him triple pay again. Craig would give him 10 times pay. I'm going to just give him triple pay. 888-995-5552. 888-995-5552. Call us now. Send us Bible Info Brokers at the media stuff and livebyword@aol.com for emails. Be back after these messages. Take us away, Ozzy. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to us on Facebook, I see us on Facebook. I'm going to do something that we used to do when this music comes on and bring us back from breaks that Brian used to do. He'd do something like this. You can't see what I'm doing, but I'm going to explain it. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to explain it, but I'm going to have one of my relatives explain it. He is my studio son from KKLA from 1,000 years ago. My studio son, who I'll call Josh. What was I just doing, Josh?
You were doing that old Brian Allen dance there.
Dance, back into the chair, swinging back and forth on that music. I don't even know what the name of that music is, because we haven't it for so long. I got to find out what the name of that song is.
Yeah, I don't either. It's been around for a long time.
Yeah, it has. But listen, I brought you in here, and because you've been with me and with this ministry all the time since we've been here, and even before you, even that's how long you've been with the company. Why don't you tell the folks whatever you want to share with them about our ministry and what you've seen over these 25 plus years?
Well, I've been working with this ministry since it's been on the air, which is in the mid 1990s from 10 p.m. to midnight. And it's one of the longest lasting shows here on KKLA in general, as far as live programs are concerned. The only other live program that's been on longer is the Gypsy Christian Hour. with Sam
place.
Nicholas. Yeah, sorry. Sam's been doing that show. Well, it's been on for about 36 years now. And Sam's been the host of it for over 30 plus years. It was originally hosted by their founding pastor, Sam Mitchell, also known as Sofka, who went to be with the Lord about 5 years ago. And Sam's actually married to Sofka's daughter. They've been married for about 26, almost 27 years.
Wow.
And so it's a great ministry as well as this one. The thing I like about this show is that you take the open and honest questions from people about the Bible, and you do it in a way that is conversational and one that is not talking down to the person. They say, hey, you know, I doubt the resurrection of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Or I have a question about the Trinity. You know, is it three gods? Is it one God? Or, you know, I had an interesting conversation a couple weeks ago on Christmas with somebody who is a Oneness Pentecostal. Mm-hmm. And we went back and forth about different things, and it was kind of difficult sometimes to get a word in edgewise. But, you know, I enjoyed getting out of the comfort zone and talking about, because he says, oh, you're tritheist. They're like, no, we're not tritheist. We're, you know, one God, three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And so, you know, just the times when conversations come up about the gospel, you just don't know sometimes. Like, I noticed when I was going on Amtrak trains quite often, there were opportunities to share. About 20 years ago, my buddy Dre and I went from L.A. to Seattle and back. And on the way up to Seattle, there's this guy named Matt, and I told him I worked as the overnight DJ on The Fish, our sister station at the time, and he said, oh, I'm an atheist. I said, well, you got a lot more faith than I do. And then we both busted up laughing.
And that's a good approach, because there's no cookie-cutter approach. You're going to give them a pull out of track and give them the four spiritual laws. That's great, man. That's great, son.
And then on the way back from, because we went to Seattle first, and then spent 2 days there, and then 2 days in Portland, and then back 2 days after that from Oregon to LA. Mm-hmm. And as we're all going back to Los Angeles, I get a tap on the shoulder. It's Matt, who was on the previous way up. And wow. So there was a couple there, John and Vicky, who were Catholic. They were reading The Purpose-Driven Life. I hadn't written the book yet. And then there was somebody else who described herself as a pagan. So the four of us together had a great conversation. And about an hour and a half later, we toasted it with a glass of wine there or whatever, the dialogue we had. And it was great. And it's like, man, I'd love to see us as believers have more of those conversations. You know, kind of like, I guess, you know, if you're kind of looking at a mainstream term, kind of like the Joe Rogan-like approach where you just kind of sit back in this man cave type of setting, you know, with a brick wall. That's kind of like the hip happening thing right now is brick walls neon and all that cool stuff. You know, have yourself, you know, in my case, I'd probably have a bunch of bottled root beers because I love having root beer tasting
and
contests.
And pizza and some kind of food pizza, you're always chewing on. I know.
it was fun. And for Christmas time, a couple weeks ago, I was working with – I volunteer on occasion with Steve Russo. He runs a website called realanswers.com. Okay. And around the country, Real Answers has one-minute features on different radio stations geared toward youth, talking about youth and what youth go through.
The issues of youth. You know,
issues of youth, yeah. And he's really on the pulse with it because oftentimes there's a lot of people who think they know about youth and have good intentions, but it's just like the wrong approach totally. So what we did was we went to a place out in Laverne where at-risk youth are there. It's like a juvenile hall.
Right.
And so he said, what we're going to do is we're going to have you do some stamp comedy, and then I'm going to play drums. Steve's a drummer, and he's drummed for different musicians before, and he's really good. Mm. And he was actually my youth pastor years ago at Eagle Rock Baptist Church, so I've known him since I was a kid. And so I did some stamp comedy. I pretty much bombed.
Did you get booed, man?
I didn't get booed, but I at least didn't have that happen.
Hey, you know what? At least you weren't afraid but to do it. At least you stepped up and did it.
Yeah, okay. And then I did interact a little bit with it. There was this one guy that was kind of goofing around, and his buddy next to him was – I said, do you want to do comedy? He's like, yeah. I was like, and they were kind of talking. I was like, you know, you two ought to be a comedy duo.
Take it on the road.
And so take it on the road, and definitely. And then I did they did like my cartoon impressions, so that was pretty cool. And
I should appreciate that because you got some good voiceovers, man. You do some pretty good stuff. I'm not going to have you do all of what we talk about. But let the people know, some of the people that you saw on our broadcast years ago all the way up to now that you've known that we've either had on the show or we talk about. And let me ask you this question. From your particular standpoint, and what apologetics is supposed to be like and the mandate for us to be ready and prepared to give an answer. But we sometimes forget to do that with the gentleness and respect. It doesn't mean that we respect everybody's answer to be the same as ours and have given equal value. But as far as a human being to a human being, to be able to respectfully listen to what they're saying, because there is no cookie cutter gospel way to present the gospel and to present what you believe in. You got to listen to the people be able to tell.
A very good point, because getting back to that event, afterwards, after I did the comedy, I said, I hope to see you guys up here on stage someday with us. And then Steve played drums, and then he gave his testimony. But instead of just presenting like a scripted gospel message, he told his story growing up about giving drum lessons.
Yeah.
And he said that one day one of the students he was giving lessons to was, he said, yeah, my best friend is Jesus. And Steve said, oh, you mean Jesus Garcia or Jesus Sanchez? You know, he thought that. And he's like, no, Jesus. And so you had some people chuckling in the audience. Mm-hmm. And throughout the talk, people were asking questions. And they weren't raising their hands. They were just like shouting out a question. And so he took the time to answer those questions, which was great because, you know, it seems like in years past that in a youth event, all right, stay quiet until I'm finished speaking.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah. Because they're not
engaging. You got to engage them.
Exactly. And that's what he was able to do. Mm. And he said that too oftentimes churches aren't interested in reaching out to at-risk youth. They just want to kind of be in their own bubble. They complain about the youth and how they're straying, but then when it comes to actually wanting to reach out to the youth, especially the at-risk youth,
right.
They don't want to do it.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, let somebody else do that.
That's not our,
it's kind of like they give up. And too often times we give up on those who don't believe, when in reality they could be closer than you think. I was talking with a guy years ago who's on one of our shows live. I forget which show it was. It may have been the Frank Pastore show.
Okay.
And this guy was a pastor to rock stars. Mm. He was from Great Britain.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him, is this rock star a Christian? He said, no, but you know, I think is closer than ever is this rock star. And I was just kind of like, wow.
Really?
And I'm not going to give away the name because it was
you
know, confidential. I agreed to keep it that. But, you know, again, you just don't know.
And we should not know. Because what we should be doing is just what we talked about, being able to give what the Lord has done in your life and give it in a way that if you're listening to what the person is, they catch them right where they are.
Because mm-hmm.
everybody's not in the same place, man. Like you mm-hmm. said, the rock star, the young kid at risk, and just the people on the train. Everybody's in so many different places. My studio son, Josh, give me your closing statement, man, so I can get you out of here and finish taking my phone calls. Give me a closing statement.
Well, I want to thank you for having me talk about this. And I encourage everybody to think about some way to reach out to youth. You can check out the website, realanswers.com, mm-hmm. for information there. And also just, pray about it because, we oftentimes complain about the youth, but oftentimes just let's ask ourselves, every one of us, what am I doing to reach out? What am I doing? And give me an opportunity to have a relationship with somebody, not have them be my project, but a relationship with somebody.
That's it. And
we're not going to have all the answers.
Right.
And if we don't have an answer to a question they ask, that's okay. In fact, you know what?
That's what we're
here for. They admire you better if you say, you know what?
I don't know.
I don't know the answer, but tell you what, let me do this. Let's be Bereans and let's look it up for ourselves. You look it up for yourself and check for yourself to see what is or isn't true.
Because you're responsible for it anyway as an individual. Studio son. You know, I love you, man. I appreciate you. Now get on out of here. All right. God bless you, man. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to Living by the Word Ministry. That was my studio son, Josh, for over 20-plus years. Don't get jealous of my other children. You know, I don't have to spend the money on his birthday and stuff like that. He's okay. 888-995-5552. Call Eric right now. Put him busy. Tim and Bobby, we're going to get to you in a moment. 888-995-5552. Bible Info Brokers for all the social media platforms that we have, Facebook, Truth Social, Messenger, and Twitter. Bible Info Brokers, send us a comment about what you're going to be pledging to do with this Bible Information Brokers. Bible Information Brokers, we're asking for pledges on your time, talent, your treasure, and how you're going to participate in your life with this ministry. So we appreciate you doing that. Bible Info Brokers, or if you want to send us an email, livebyword@aol.com. My dear friend Bobby, you hold on, and Carson, I'm going to go first too. I can go on either side, can't I, Ozzy? So I'm going to take my left side and bring up Tim from Lake Balboa. Tim, how you doing, brother?
Pretty good. Yeah, I just wanted to call and say that I've been listening to this time slot probably like close to more than 30 years.
Wow.
So I've just wanted to say that I want to be more intentional about praying for the ministry.
Man, thank you, brother. Can I interrupt you one quick second, man?
Sure.
That is the word. You know, if I could do anything, I would do it like this. That's the word for the day. That's the word I was looking for, man. The intentionality of your Christianity. Continue, bud. Continue on, Tim. I'm sorry.
And the other thing I wanted to mention, that Zelle is pretty convenient, so
I encourage people to use it. Hold on, let me get you another bell, bro. You mad at intentionality, Zelle? Come on, you got anything? Take as much time as you want, Tim, but talk to me.
now I have to be the downer part.
Please.
The last 3 years have been really terrible for me. I started to prosper and do well. That's, you know, I want to really be, you know, consistent and keep on giving and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to still try to do that. But I also called to have some prayer because last week at work was terrible for me.
Mm.
And then Friday was a grand finale. I won't talk about it, but it just really made me really not like what I'm doing, my job.
Negative crescendo, know? Huh? Negative crescendo.
Yeah. Yeah. It was pretty much. And I'm, you know, starting to get like my finances straight after the last 3 years mm-hmm. being terrible. And, you know, I just kind of called to get some prayer to have some direction in my life.
You know what, brother? I'm gonna ask you to do something. I'm gonna see if I can do this, because the brother that, if I believe this, is the Bobby that I know, my dear friend from way back in the day, Bobby. If this is Bobby from Carson, I'm gonna bring him up. But I want you to hold on, because I want to not only pray for you, but I also want to be able to connect Christians together that may be able to give some kind of assistance one way or the other in regards to there. And I just happen to know, and it's interesting that you two are the two callers right next to each other here, and that your particular situation dealing with you know, finances and things like that, and you're still talking about giving to ministries, and we really appreciate that, and the Lord bless you for that. But I want you to just hold on for a second, because I'm going to try to let Bobby talk about what he's going to talk about, and then you know, got to get permission not only just to pray for you, which you gave me, but also to maybe to connect you with Bobby in some kind of way, because this is kind of like in Bobby's area, man. I mean, trust me, I've challenged Bobby to do some things ministerially wise, and we're still going to work on that. But let me put you on hold for a minute. Can I do that, Tim? Put you on hold for a second? Let me see if this is the Bobby I'm talking about. I hope it is, so I won't be looking all goofy right now, okay? So hold on 1 second, all right, brother? I'm gonna see if I can do this. Just hold on. Don't say anything. I'm going to see if I can bring him up on this other side here without losing you. And if I lose you, call right back, okay? Hold on. Bobby from Carson.
No, it's me.
Hey, brother, what's going on? How mommy
Good
doing?
My brother, happy new year to you and to all your family.
Appreciate
and to everyone
you.
That's listening, and God bless you.
God bless you as well, Bobby. Now, let me ask you a question. Tim, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, I did it. look at me, man. I'm working this. Hey, Eric, take note. I want to raise. Take note. I'm doing my thing here. Okay,
the
now.
A man who can do technology. Amazing.
I can hit with my left or right hand on a tennis ball, but not too much else. I wish I could do it in golfing, man, especially with your uncle's club. Wasn't that your uncle that got those clubs from you with, those from the uncle?
Yeah.
You heard Tim and what he was talking about as far as his things he's going through, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to bring Tim back on. And, I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, like, get all the answers right now, but Tim is dealing with some challenges as far as work and finance and stuff like this. And, you know, you and I talked about what your background is and what you kind of got some good experience and expertise in. So let me see if I can bring Tim on. Tim, are you back on there with me?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, Bobby, so what I'm going to ask you to do, because Tim asked for prayer in the area of finances and dealing with his job and stuff like that. So I'm going to ask, before I let Tim go, Bobby, for you and listening audience, this is what Uncle Daryl do. I designate. I don't do all the ministry. I say no to some things, but yet I try to connect the dots.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to connect the dots right now, Bobby, and impose on you that you would pray for Tim. We're going to let Tim go. And, Tim, you're going to keep in communication with us about what's happening with you, okay?
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Bobby, why don't you do Tim and all the listening audience an honor and do a prayer for Tim and in general for the listening audience that may be going through similar things that Tim is going through.
Father God, we give you all honor, glory, and praise this evening, and ask you to focus your attention as we elicit our prayers to you for Tim and all those like Tim who are going through a troubled economic times. We live in a difficult economic times where not only investments, but just daily money management is so crucial. And we are all suffering from various kinds of things, not the least of which is the inflationary cost of living. So I'm asking you, Father God, to focus and please help us, help all of us to deal with our problems. Help Tim to find some help and resources, and I will be a resource to help Tim. But God, we want you to look into our hearts and not only pray, hear our prayers for all those that we care about and love, but those who are in need that we don't know and that we're not aware of. And I ask you this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.
Now, Bobby, I want you to hold on. And, Tim, I'm going to put you on hold, if you don't mind, giving some information to Eric, and then I'll pass that on to Bobby because I want to respect everybody's privacy. But at the same time, I want you to know that that's what this ministry is about, trying to connect the dots and not do everything itself, but to be able to know what people do in their life and be able to connect it like that. So I'm going to put you on hold, Tim. Talk to Eric, please. Eric, if you get the information from Tim, now I'll turn it back over to Bobby to talk about what he called in about.
Well, as I told Eric, you pushed a few buttons for me, and I there's all too often I listen and don't call, and I apologize for that. But first of all, 2024, this is going to be it's going to be a quadruple for 24. I'm gonna share my successes financially with the ministry. Four times, quadruple what I gave last year. I'm going to do four for 24, and I challenge anybody and everybody listening to take a look in your own heart and your own finances to what you can do and what you, the Lord has asked you to do, and to donate to this great ministry. If you listen to this show, if you will, on Sunday nights, you can't help but feel God's love. You can't help but feel the gift that God has given Craig and EZ and Eric and you know, everyone that's ever been associated with this show, that it has an effect on you. It has had an effect on me all these years, and I joined EZ. We met you personally and went to church with you, and you were there for me when I had my surgery. And I can't begin to thank you enough and thank this ministry enough for what you give to me each and every week. So 4 for 24 is my call to anybody.
You know
what you've given.
You know I love numbers, brother. With Fulton 54, you know I love numbers. So I appreciate that, my brother. And look, you make sure it's okay with Gene. I don't want to ever give you know giving me a call say easy. He done gave you everything. Now we need something to eat.
He's right here next to me
All right, man. Brother, I appreciate you and love you for sure.
I'm going to call back because there were some other things. I know you guys got lots of calls. I will say this to you, if I may.
No, take your time because we don't have a lot of calls. I'm checking the emails and like that. Take your time. This is comment day. Take advantage of this.
My comment is that, you know, I retired from teaching and left the classroom in large part because of the government intervention of telling teachers how and what, most importantly, what to teach the kids.
Wow.
I am a highly qualified, decades-long teacher of social studies, economics, history, U.S. government, and so on. And it literally got to the point where I was being told topically the things to teach. And then how to teach the things that I was teaching, even though I knew that a lot of it was in error. And I was faced with young people coming into the teaching profession who were leaving universities with literal, I'm talking literal communist connections, okay? I mean, they would put up posters that would honor Marx and honor Lenin and honor Che Guevara, people who committed murders and who were atheists and who told people that, you know, we're going to lock you up because of your beliefs. And I tried my best to teach and bring the word to my classrooms as best as I possibly could without getting into trouble for doing so. But when it got to push to, you know, it just was really disheartening to see what was happening in the classrooms and at the Los Angeles Unified School District, which was the district that I taught with. My wife and I were, you're talking about, Gene, we were talking earlier tonight about, we were watching the NFL and there were...
Don't say any results. Comments. Don't say any results now. Don't say any results of the games.
The comments that were being made, you know, during the commercials and stuff about promoting black athletes that they're better than white athletes. And you know, I don't care about anybody's skin color, because that has no no effect. It should have no effect on your ability as an athlete, your ability as a stockbroker, your ability as a teacher, your ability as a sheriff or a police officer or a doctor or a lawyer, you know. And yet, the more we talk about it, the more we make kids think that
yeah, something there.
Racism is around every corner.
Right, right.
You know, and it reinforces it. I want the generation to pass on that believed in racism, that practiced racism. I want them to leave our world, and if you stop talking about it and they leave, you're going to be left with people that don't have those values and don't have those ideas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's not, this is not the free world that you and I grew up in. It is not a free California that I wow. grew up in, was born and raised in. You know, the laws that get passed, the things that we're told we can and can't do, it's okay for there to be bars and liquor stores open during the COVID, but not a church.
Mm.
I mean, come on now.
Well, look, Bobby, let me interject here, man, because you said some things that we can have a conversation. I would love to have these kind of conversations while we'll eventually have them on the
yeah.
various podcasts I'm going to do. Can you hear me okay? Because I know we was having a little difficulty
yes,
earlier.
Yes.
Well, because something that you had just said in regards to how the government put pressure on you from the school district and stuff like that to teach a certain way, and you see the transformation
right.
of the people's educational background and what leaning there, sort of a leftist leaning politically and stuff like that.
Right.
And I think that, I don't know if you knew, when we talked about what I was going to do in my Fulton 54 situation, I came into this whole idea of this Fulton 54 by asking God the same question I asked him when I was first came into Christ. Lord, I want to work in ministry where money is never an issue for me to be able to
right.
work in ministry. And a week later, I got hurt on the job. 5 years later, going through a lot of stuff, my little wilderness was 5 years, I wound up getting a tax-free check by having a medical problem where they wouldn't let me go back to work and they wouldn't retire me. And so my retirement and the money I made based upon that retirement check for the last 30 years has been just enough to take care of my basic needs, which I don't need to get paid in ministry. And that's
Amen.
Why I am where I am. I'm only saying that to say this, that in regards to this whole Fulton 54 thing, I asked the Lord to give me something that can help with the homeless problem. Give me something that can help with the incarceration problem. Give me something that can, and I learned about this game of golf. Give me something that can help with the game of golf. So he gave me what bowling has, which is a perfect score, because there's no standardized perfect score in golf. So I just simply put up a few dollars that I had in my little retirement and access and got a patent for it. It's patent pending for the last 3 years. It takes a little while to go through that process. But I come to find out later, after coming to the game of golf, like, this is the 90th year, Bobby, and I think we may have talked about it briefly. This is the 90th year. You're talking about the skin color of somebody and stuff like that. This is the 90th year of the PGA of America, the PGA Tour that was in that was together. This is the 90th year in 1934 to 1961. They changed a bylaw to include the phrase Caucasian only. I didn't know nothing about that when I put my patent in. So my whole methodology, my whole thinking is not changed to try to standardize the perfect score in golf. I still want to do that as far as a score. But the system I have, and here's where it involves, where the Bible is going to come into play. That's where I got the double ambassador idea from. I live in the world of the ambassador for Christ. I'm an ambassador at the golf course for the last 7 to 10 years, driving around making sure people have a good experience at the golf course for free. I mean, I volunteer. My wife called me a professional volunteer. And that ambassador for Christ and that ambassador at the golf course comes into play at the golf course. At the golf course, because if anybody played golf, all the professional athletes out there that I see on the golf course many times, and people who are great skills that you were talking about with the football players, they all come to the golf course and get humbled. So I said to myself that there is no other game I know in sports, and I've been around sports all my life, been around fabulous athletes all my life, and there's no other game that will humble man like golf does on an individual basis. And plus,
right.
you're not playing against Bobby, against Daryl. You're playing
right.
against that course, the world, as it were. So here's
right.
how I developed my whole system. I was going to talk about this anyway, so I'm just happening to kind of segue off of what you're talking about. Here's my two questions for you to start off by getting an application to have the ability to post a score with my system, and it's being developed as we speak. The first question is what you had talked about. What is your race? And there's going to be a drop box. And every time you cannot finish the application process, I don't want you playing the game that I'm going to have a patent for, if the Lord's willing, or the game I will produce from the trademarks and all that stuff. The first question is, what race are you? The drop box, Bobby, and I don't know if I'm sorry being redundant if I already told you this, because, you know, I'm getting a little older, brothers. You know, I forget sometime. The drop box is going to say human. If you can't check that box, you can't continue an application process in Fulton 54.
Bingo.
The next question is going to be ethnicity and culture. What is your ethnicity and culture? The drop box is going to say something along this line. I'm going to shorten it up because, you know, I can go long. It's going to be, although it's very important, even in a game of golf, because of the social element, it's not the most important thing in golf. Play golf is the most important thing in golf, no matter who you play with. Because when you go to a golf course and you go in as an individual and you put your name on the sheet with the starter, you don't know who you're going to play with. Atheists? You know, a witch, a warlock, a Christian, a Buddhist, a Muslim. You don't know who you're going to play with. So the most important thing with golf is play golf. So even though it's important, because people want to hang around, you know, they only have a good time with themselves playing golf with their own, you know, so-called culture and stuff like that, it's not the most important thing. If you can't check that box, I don't want you playing my game.
Right.
And that's what I mean, that the game is going to bring people together and change the world, because you're not going against Bobby. And I just had this conversation with the guys who was playing my game. I was keeping their score so they could have an official score, because I'm a referee in my own game. And they just got through what we was talking about. It's more blessed to give than receive. I said, okay, well, I'm going to try to give you a beating on this golf course. You know, we're friendly with each other. I said, but the beating I want to give you is with the worst thought about you is neutral. I don't care. Of course, I want to win with the lower score, but I don't want you to do bad. So the worst idea you should have about your opponent, not your enemy, but your opponent in golf, is not like football, basketball, and everything. When the ball go out of bounds, everybody pointing in their direction. In golf, you're supposed to marshal yourself, examine yourself, and if something is in doubt, you don't take it. Just like it's supposed to be in tennis. But guess what? Your football, your basketball, and the other sports I've refereed and played in, when the ball go out of bounds, what do everybody do, Bobby? They point in their direction, right?
Yeah.
That's ours. So I said all that to simply say this, man. With your school and being retired, almost like almost like a forced retirement, even though you didn't say that. I understand what you're saying, man. And we need to have this conversation with you talking to PCH, because I want to find out from his perspective, because he's teaching in a Christian school, Trinity, and you're teaching in this secular school with, you know, the LA Unified or what have you, and being retired from there, and you know what the inner workings of that. He knows the inner workings of the Christian construct, and even though they have Christian, they may have some interesting things they have to deal with as far as the state giving them their license and things, or even getting a state or federal money.
Very true.
So, I'm begging you, when PCH comes back, to call back in so we can have this kind of conversation.
Okay, I absolutely will. I obviously will. Let me just say I two things. One, you know, I chose to teach for LAU because I wanted to teach in the inner city.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to teach in the inner city because if I can get a kid from the inner city to get turned on to learning and want to go to college and want to be a success in his or her education, so to have more options and choices in life to be, you know, successful in, and by that I mean successful in finding the joy of what they get up and do every day.
Yes.
And then the difference between where they're starting from and where I wanted to get them is a tremendous gain versus if I were teaching somewhere on the west side or in the beach cities or someplace where both parents have gone to, you know, college and it's a foregone conclusion that their child is going to go to a university. I'm not going to turn that kid on to learning. I may help them.
Yes, yes.
I will help them. But I'm not going to make the gains that I did make.
Yeah.
Easy. I went to, Gene and I went to breakfast Christmas Eve and two with friends and a couple of people, family, and two two guys showed up. One of them is now 36 years old, and the other is just turned 33. In fact, you met him, Randy.
Okay.
And they showed up at breakfast, and we celebrated, the eve of the birth of our Lord, and we all took hands and prayed for our meal and for everyone that was there, and that's a kid that's 36. Think about it. He graduated when he was 17.
Mm.
He stayed in touch with me all these years.
Beautiful man.
Why? Because I had made a difference.
In his life. Yes, sir.
And today he is working, and he has a really good life, and we're incredibly proud of him.
Wow.
So,
well, you know what I'm proud of, brother?
About. And the last thing I wanted to tell you.
It won't be the last. I have to ask you one more question.
I'm starting a brand new website.
Beautiful.
I'm working on it right now. I've got a company that's helped me to put it together, and it's going to emphasize the Christian orientation of the fact of my being a financial advisor,
yep,
and financial planner.
Now look, Bobby, now you look, I'm not into that hocus pocus stuff, but look how the Lord works. Because my question to you before you carry on, I'm gonna let you finish. But my question was gonna be just that. Because I know what you're doing, because what we talked about, because I believe that's ministry, and because it's a double ambassador that you are in this arena, like I am in golf, you are in this financial area. I was going to say, man, how's it going with the business side of it? Because that's why I had you hold on and pray for Tim. Because I'm going to ask you. You didn't ask me to do this. We wouldn't know he was going to talk about this because we haven't talked for about a month or two. What is the information if you're available to give it now? If not, we'll be able to put it up on the websites and stuff like that later, because I love you, I know you, and you've already been vetted by me. You know what I'm saying? So if there's anything you want to share with the listening audience right now, please do that website-wise. Are you still working on it? I may have to talk to you about your web designer because I've got some things I'm trying to do as well in this area. And so if there's any information you want to share with the public now, or if you want to wait, then we can wait.
The name of my business and company now is R, like Robert, R Bond and Bond Associates. And our bond to you is that we will help you take care of you and help you to meet the needs of whatever it is the Lord has in mind for you. And that you can share not only your life with your family, but with others.
Man, you know I love that because you know the whole idea of Living by the Word Ministries, my emphasis when I named this company almost 30 years ago, is ministries. And it's just to do, just like you said, everybody should have a ministry based upon Ephesians 2, not 8 and 9 where we're saved. But after you save, you should be doing that double ambassador work based upon verse 10 that the Lord have got you to do. Remember, I always emphasize to you, what does the Lord want you to do in this area?
That's why it's quadruple in 24, four for 24, baby.
Amen. Well, I can't wait till we get to 25 so it could be fintipled. did I say that right, teacher? I'm sorry. You know, I'm not the best at the King's English, but you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, Tim can contact me, and I do not charge for consultations. I don't, I'm not trying to sell anybody anything.
Gotcha.
Ever. But I'm happy to talk with him. And
if you want to give a number out now, or you want to just have Tim call you and we get the number when we put it on the website?
You got it.
No, I'm asking you. Do you want to give your number out to everybody now?
No, it's area code 310.
Mm-hmm.
328.
Right.
1102.
All right, got to do that again. I'm about to write it down under Craig's number for his channel. So what is yours again?
310.
328.
328-11-02.
Let me read it back. 310-328-110 what?
02.
And that, what is the company called again? 007 Robert Bond? No, what is it called again?
R Bond. R Bond.
Mm-hmm.
And Bond Associates.
And Bond Associate. That's a nice little play on words. I like that, brother. All right, man, get off.
Bond Associates.
Okay. R Bond and Bond Associates.
Right.
All right, brother. Anything else you want to say before I cut you off?
Call that number and make reference that you're calling because of Living by the Word Ministries.
Amen.
And I will take care of you.
Appreciate that. Man, you have taken care of my heart already today, and I appreciate your time, brother.
God bless you, man.
To you and Gene, man.
The family.
As well.
And to Eric and everybody there, and to Tim, my friend, give me a call. Take care. God bless.
You too. God bless, man. Wow. See, folks, that's what this ministry is all about, Living by the Word Ministries. Now, Robert, I didn't notice that. I'm sorry, not Robert, but Eric, I noticed that not many people were calling back in at 888-995-5552. 888-995-5552. And honestly, if I'm looking at the clock right, we only have about another 12 minutes or so, and I can't believe that the broadcast is almost over already. We need some more hours, man. You know, it's almost over already. So, Eric, I see a phone. I was about to bring you on, but since you're going to answer that phone and see what's happening, who that may be, who may want to make a pledge to us, be it with their time, talent, or treasure, or make a comment, we want to take everybody we can in these last 10 or so minutes. But right now, I will what I will do, because Eric said that Bonnie called in. I see the note here that Bonnie from Pasadena called in and is asking for prayer for the Joneses family, and Mariah in particular, for healing. And I want to just take an opportunity, not only just for the Joneses family and Mariah, Bonnie's friend or relative. I want to also include each and every person out there that may be going through something. I remember we was at church today, and we were talking very much today at the Lincoln Avenue church in regards to just dealing. I even posted it on our webs on our Facebook page. If you go to our Facebook page at Bible Info Brokers, Bible Info Brokers on Facebook, you will see the YouTube rebroadcast of Lincoln Avenue Christian Churches today. Let us return to Jesus, Revelations 2:1-7 by my dear friend Pastor Wayne. And we were talking about the whole idea about how the church has lost its mind to some degree. And we were talking about, and we were naming names, we were talking about the situation with T.D. Jakes, we were talking about the situation with some, I didn't even know the minister's name, but they told me about some guy named Jamal Bryan and the various things that he went through, and I don't know if it's the same church or not, but some church is trying to say to bring in, like Bobby was saying, to bring in and deal with the youth, like Josh was saying, talking about dealing with the youth that are going through things, the youth with challenges. He didn't use that word, but basically saying the at-risk youth that my dear studio son Josh was talking about earlier, and you got Bobby talking about how he had to teach the kids at school and stuff like that. I was all askewed, and here you got the church. And you guys look it up and you send me information on it, please. Correct me if I'm wrong, but if I'm not mistaken, I'm kind of regurgitating what I heard this morning. And I was like, what? They got a church that said they're going to start growing marijuana in somewhere in the church so they can bring in the young black youth to get them excited about coming to church. So I'm trying to understand the connection of, and I'm just going to say it the way I would say it, cigarette weed, or just weed, growing weed, even though it may be legal, and bringing the youth in the church. And so I guess we're supposed to be hipper than hop or hopper than hip to be able to do this type of thing to bring the youth into church, and we just can't trust the word of God enough and trust the word of God that will set you free and get the person upon the Holy Spirit to be able to move upon the heart of people. So we need to have these little slick ways of doing things and gimmicks. Well, when Professor comes back, whenever he comes back next week, Lord willing, he gets back here from Cambodia before he has to go back to that side of the world, to Nepal and stuff, we're going to bring up that subject matter in regards to how we are opening up the church doors in ways that it's almost like having some kind of slippery something to get people to slide in, but not really getting the meat of the word of God. And we were talking about Revelations 2:1-7. You can read that or even go on the our Facebook page and check out the video I posted, because I wanted people to say it. I actually put in the post on my personal post, which I'm trying to learn how to do that more, that if you have a weak mind and you are the type of person that would drink the Kool-Aid of the Joneses, and I'm not talking about, I'm about to pray for Bonnie's friends, but you know I'm talking about Jones and Jonestown and Jim Jones, and you're a Jimmy or you're a Jimetta and you drink the Kool-Aid, then don't, you might not want to listen to this video about Let Us Return to Jesus from Revelations 2:1-7, dealing with the church of Ephesus. But, and the pastor was just out there in Turkey maybe a couple of months ago, and I actually posted some of that, some of the places, the Church of Ephesus and Laodicea and some of the other churches out there. And folks, we just need to return to Jesus on a serious basis based upon the Word of God. And so all I'm going to say to you is this. Please take advantage of the resources that we have on Bible Info Brokers as a resource, and follow the links and connect yourself to some of the articles and the pages and the biographical things that PCH may have posted. And Brian got some good articles in from years ago. And just take advantage of doctrinally sound that you have been a good Berean and checked out ministries. Now, I gave you an opportunity to give to this particular ministry through time, talent, and your treasure. I'm going to give information on how you can actually negotiate those instruments. And then I'm going to pray for Bonnie's Jones's family after I do that. But let me take care of that information right now. So if you're so inclined that you are going to pledge to pray for us, and we really appreciate that, that's your time. Take your time to pray for this ministry. Pray for us individually and collectively as a ministry. And if you have prayer requests, please utilize and inundate us with notes. If you want to mail it in, I will give you the information. If you want to send it by email, if you want to put it on our social media pages. And we're going to be systematizing this thing where it's going to be so easy for you to share with a multiplicity of people in your contacts, so that the way we promote God's word, the way we distribute the unadulterated word of God through the question and answer format and the various things we want to do in the future, ministerial-wise, that we didn't even talk about today that was on our schedule to do. But, you know, got involved as, things came up with my studio son Josh and Bobby and Tim that called in. You know, folks, we want to be able to minister to people the unadulterated word of God, so that you may be able to get that word in your heart, so that you may be able to be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within you. You got that hope. You got to be able to disseminate that truth to your world of the one race that we have, multiplicity of ethnicities and cultures, but the one race, the human race. Don't get lost into all that gobbledygook of the way people think, antithetical to what the Bible says about it. So all I'm going to say is this. We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. And I'm going to go back to the phone so I'll be able to take Ann's call. I ask you people to call in and be able to make comments that you want to make. So let me honor that situation and go right now to Ann in the city of Los Angeles. Ann from L.A., thanks for holding on and calling in.
Hi, how are you today?
As you can see, I'm not doing too well. I sound kind of low in energy and all those type of things. I'm just playing. I'm doing great.
No, you. Hallelujah for the Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
As well.
I was kind of going to roll on, but then I heard you say something. I said, I got a comment.
Okay.
Help me, Lord.
Please.
So here we go. You know what? And it has to do with perception, and I heard what you just said. You are born, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Work it how you want to work it, Master. A person is born on this earth. He is born from the will of God. There is no predisposition or presupposition mm-hmm. about who you are and what you are. It doesn't matter where you live in the city or what you do or your family situation. It doesn't matter that you are who you are, what God made you to be. Just because you live on one side of the block don't mean you're destined to be this. And just because you live on the other side of the block doesn't mean you're destined to be that. What you are destined, what God has for you is his purpose. So what I want to say is this. All these presuppositions we have and all these things that have been through the television and through society, and we know who authors those things, and all the xenophobic conversations, they are not of God. You go back to your word. You go to the Lord. And see, those are the things you have to cleanse out of. Those are the things you have to cleanse out of your heart. You go to the word and go, Lord, well, what do I believe? Well, why do I believe, because that boy comes from over here, that is automatically the case? Have I been listening to the news? Have I been indoctrinated? What do I believe about myself? What do I believe? You think because I live over here that I don't have dreams and things that go further, that the purpose of God for me is not here in this world. It's not for me to be, what do people think is a big deal nowadays? A federal judge or something, you know, or I can't run for this, or my mind doesn't think that because I live over here on this side of town, or because I live over there on that side of town. We have to go with the purposes of God. Oh, but the thing is, what the enemy tries to do is catch the mind. If he could box you in the mind, then you're sitting there going, oh, yeah, that must be me, because that's what we do. No. How do you know? Your mind is from God. God has made each and every person individual. Everybody has their own fingerprints. Everybody.
Yes, ma'am.
There's no one else that will ever have any other fingerprints like that. So I want to tell the young people, and to say to us that have that live and have lived, look, we got to drop all this presupposition. We got to drop it all.
Amen.
And we have to go with the love of God. We have to follow what he tells us to do and do it. And that in itself will knock off most of that xenophobic talk. We are the bastions of God's light in this world.
And Ann, I'm going to have to cut you off right there.
Oh, go ahead.
No, don't. That's because we're running out of time. But I really appreciate what you just said. God bless you, my sister, and Happy New Year again.
Happy New Year. God bless you.
All right. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, I only have about 90 seconds left, and I just want to emphasize what Ann said, that if you please would take the opportunity before you go to bed tonight so you can know who you are from the God's perspective, read Psalm 139. You might want to just simply start with verses 13 and maybe read 4 or 5 verses down to 17. Psalm 139, 13 to 17, and know who you are from the perspective of God. And on behalf of the Joneses, I just ask, Lord, that you might be able to touch them where they are hurting right now. I ask that you would, if you choose to heal the situation with Mariah and everyone else that may be going through something, not only with the Jones family that Bonnie has asked us to pray for, but anyone else out there. If you want to heal them instantaneously, Lord, you can. We know you can. We just don't know if you will. But if you choose not to do it instantaneously, Lord, we just ask and pray that you might show favor and show grace and show mercy and show the kindness of the believing family, that anyone near someone that may be going through something of a healing nature, of a tough nature, a tough situation in their life, be it death or what have you, Lord, that we might be able to be that person, not necessarily to have the right words to say, but to be the right person in the right place and be available to all those that hurt. So, Lord, as we end this broadcast, we want to thank you very much. We hear the music playing in the background. We want to thank you on behalf of the whole team. Ozzy, we appreciate you, my brother. Eric, we love you. PCH, safe travels from Cambodia. And as I always say, my name is Daryl Easy D. Fulton, Mama Grace, and Big Daddy's baby boy, saying, the Lord willing, we'll be back more of the Bible Information Brokers presented by Living by the Word Ministries, and more importantly, the faithful few that support us financially. But please, those of you that did not call in the pledge, solidify your pledge with the Lord and then follow through. God bless you till the Lord meets us back here again next week, if he wills. Bye-bye.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.